Live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino and the Music Row Show.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Oh, yeah. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. Thanks so much for tuning in again tonight. As you probably figured out by now, the show is for all you songwriters and musicians and performers out there who just want to figure stuff out here in good old Music City.
That's right. Now, remember, we don't know anything.
Nah.
We've been doing this for 10 years. We're out there just slinging songs during the day, just like you guys are. But we are able to bring brilliant, talented, effervescent people into the
effervescent
studio.
Effervescent.
How about that, huh?
Good word.
And
did you look that up?
No. I have no idea what it means. I'm hoping I didn't just insult somebody. But we like to ask them questions, and then they like to answer, and then we give you the opportunity to join in as well.
That's true. And the way people can do that is by going to Facebook, our page on Facebook, which is, of course, The Music Row Show. And you can also hit us up on Twitter at The Music Row Show. And the conversation is starting right now. So,
hey, we tell them a little bit about our showcase that we're doing.
We have a showcase that we're doing. Now, for 10 years now, we've been focusing on hit songwriters and producers and publishers and, you know, people who've had success in the business. We've talked to them about how they, you know, how they achieved that. But
right,
there are so many great songwriters in this town who have not had that big break yet.
Yet, that we've met at Writers' Nights. And
just amazing songs. So we figured once a month we'd do the Music Row Showcase, and we'd shine the light on those folks.
Who's that brought to you by? Who's sponsoring that?
LR Bags.
What?
Is sponsoring that particular segment. And
love those guys.
We have actually a venue sitting right on our console desk right now.
That is a DI box, by the way.
That's right.
Now, we're not doing it this month because I've decided that I need a week away from you.
Oh,
so
thank you.
I'm taking the week off and
that's
I'm leaving.
So awesome.
I know.
Thank you.
It's a gift that keeps on giving.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, good. Well, we're going to follow that up with one in April, though.
Yeah. Well, we got a big show tonight.
We got a great show. We're kind of focusing on family ties tonight. First with singer and recording artist and songwriter Jenny Gill here in hour one.
Yep. And then hit rockers, brothers, and twins, I should say. And part of the Nelson musical legacy, Gunnar and Matthew Nelson, are going to be here in hour two.
Awesome. I wonder which one's older. We should ask that.
Gunner is.
Respect your elders.
Gunner is.
All right, Scott, why don't we get to it and introduce our guest here.
Okay.
Effervescent guest.
Our guest this hour is part of this super talented cadre of the next gen. Really, there's a whole bunch of this next generation of musicians here in Nashville. And she's making waves with her newly released EP titled The House Sessions, which is really, really, really good. I've enjoyed it all week listening to it. Jenny is a daughter of country music legend Vince Gill and the Sweethearts of the Rodeo's Janice Oliver. Both have been on the show.
Right.
Janice is a kick. Her stepmama is Amy Grant. And so that means she has been surrounded by and immersed in music really since
pretty much doomed to music.
Yeah. So after several years of touring with Amy as a backup singer and also we've seen her many times on YouTube at the Christmas shows, doing the Christmas shows with Vince and Amy. Jenny is putting herself front and center with this new CD, which was recorded and produced at her dad's studio. And we're just really happy she's here. It's a great project. And Jenny Gill, we're happy to see you. Welcome to the Music Road Show.
Wow. Woo-hoo! What a lovely introduction.
Thank you. And we're out of time, actually.
Great.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you were fantastic.
I tried to look up that fancy word you used, and then I didn't know how to spell it, so I just abandoned
the
search.
IFFF.
That's sort of the cruel joke of dictionaries, you know? Hey, I want to know how this word's spelled, but you need to know how it's spelled in order to look it up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just stinks. Somebody should get on that.
We'll figure it out.
All right.
Well, Jenny, I had one big problem with your album.
Oh.
A big problem. It was not nearly long enough.
Oh.
I mean, it was so good, I didn't want it to end. I was like, no, it's over.
That's sweet of you to say. We actually cut about 11 songs, and I didn't want to make a project that felt like it had filler in it. I just wanted to select songs that were really great to me. And so these were the six strongest. And I said, let's just do these. You got to, you know, you can't give it all away right at the beginning. You know, right. You got to leave
them wanting more.
Exactly. The key to show business. So
brilliant.
So now everyone will be eager for my next project. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
And you've already got it recorded.
That's perfect. That's
right. Easy. Half of it. Yeah. We got half of it.
That's Jenny's next album entitled Fillers.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, as Scott mentioned in the intro, music was obviously all around you growing up. Was there ever any thought to pursuing a career outside of music at all for you?
Really, my entire childhood was, what else could I do that that is not music? It was just hard to go for it because the examples that I had to follow.
A lot of pressure, I would imagine.
It was a lot of pressure. Yeah. I never felt good enough. So I tried things here and there and nothing really stuck. And so I waited till my 30s to try to go for a singing career. I thought, let's have a baby and start a music career all at the same time.
Perfect.
That makes sense.
That's smart. Yeah. That's smart.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
get it all done.
Yeah.
All at the same time.
Rip the Band-Aid off, right off.
I know. Yeah. I know. I joke about that, but really I wasn't inspired or confident enough to even do it until I had my son, Wyatt, because once you spend a year of your life at home by yourself raising a baby, after that you really can do anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
Pretty yeah. much.
You
want
to do. Yeah.
Well, and so much has been said, and trust me, we're going to be discussing it here about your parents' influence and the legacy and all of that. But as you said, the project was inspired by Wyatt, your youngin, and I loved you said that you wanted him to be proud of you like you're proud of your folks.
I did.
Talk about that.
Well, we started this project really before Wyatt was here. This started as a Christmas present from my dad. He had just finished this beautiful studio. And I said, could I just sneak in there late at night when nobody's working and just like do some demos? And he surprised me on Christmas morning and said, let's do a full-on session. And we worked on all these songs and we recorded them and finished them up and they sounded really great. And I just kind of froze. I didn't know what to do with them. I just needed that extra push to get it out to the public, and no pun intended, but you know, that extra push was my son coming into the world.
I thought I heard some interesting breathing on one of these songs. Yeah.
Yes. So, oh my Lord, that hurt so bad.
Recording the album hurt that bad?
It did.
Really?
You know, yeah. There was a little bit of family tension there.
Interesting.
We never worked that closely together before. We'd sung here and there, worked up some tunes before, but we never spent that many hours side by side working.
Right.
And Dad, he's such an amazing producer, but he's also an artist at heart.
Uh-huh.
So some of the things he would hear weren't necessarily things that I would hear.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool to collaborate with him. And I won some battles and didn't win some others. And
at the end of the day, it's still Dad, right? You know, so
the end of the day, he knows what he's doing. I let him take the reins because, I mean, he's just such a pro in the studio.
And right.
He really helped me to pull back. You know, I'd want to be too fancy and sing all these notes and try to show off. And he'd help me just pull it back a little bit and simplify. And I could not be more proud of how this EP turned out.
That's
interesting because that was a story that your dad told when he was on the show a couple years
that
ago.
That has several years. It's been several years, Allison.
Yeah.
His PR
he told
person.
The same story that his first studio gig, he got in there and, you know, and was playing all those notes. And the producer pulled him aside and said, okay, don't play everything you know.
Yeah,
right?
He
you
said,
know?
Okay, now play me half of what you know.
Yeah.
You know, because really, I mean, a band is made for everyone to have some space.
Right.
You know, you can't take up all the space. I'm impressed by the singers who can do all those vocal gymnastics, but when they're singing on before the verse starts, you know, over the band, that kind of gets on my nerves a little bit sometimes.
Amen.
Right?
Let me just say
to admit?
My wife and I call that vocal stylings.
Your wife and yeah. you?
My wife.
My wife and I turned into Count Chocula.
But my wife.
One betty, betty, bet.
I hate that. They can take Mary Had a Little Lamb and put 1,000 more notes in it. You can't even recognize the song anymore, you know?
Or the national anthem.
Or what? Yes.
Man, some of the best compliments I ever got from singing was when I did the national anthem at the Predators game.
Yeah.
And I just sang the song.
Exactly.
Just straight up.
It's long enough.
Yeah.
Like, just sing it. Just sing the melody. It's good.
Right. Hit it.
Yeah.
Hit it and walk off.
I know.
Yeah.
I always wondered how songwriters must feel who like slave over a melody and then, you know, one of those type of singers records it and just obliterates it with, you know, vocal stylings, you know.
Anyway. I've always wondered that too, Hino.
Have you really?
No.
All right. Well, anyway, the sound of the album to me is just, it's just amazing. It's perfect.
Thank you.
I'm kind of a nut about listening. You know, I listen to the bass and I listen to the drums and the drum sound and all that kind of stuff. And it just all worked very, very well. How did you arrive at, you know, quote unquote, your sound?
Oh, we just called the best musicians on the planet. Really is how that worked out. I didn't do a lot of directing there. You kind of play them the work tape and let them play what's in their heart. And that's another cool thing about Dad as a producer. We didn't do any pre-production. We just let the songs evolve in their own time. Just took our time. And
The guys came in, you played the work tape.
Yeah, and then we just kind of get a feel for it and play through it a few times. There was just no rush in making this. And
nice.
That's the greatest part about this studio being at their house. I mean, Amy's cooking lunch in the kitchen. Everyone's just hanging out, and it's just kind of a different vibe. And I think it really is reflected in these songs. But when you have folks like Greg Morrow on drums and Willie Weeks on bass and Jack Pearson and Tom Bukovac playing guitars. I mean, the list goes on. It's unfair. It's really unfair.
We can't stand Tom Bukovac.
No.
What? Yeah.
He's an alien. He's not human. Nobody can play guitar like that.
I love him so
much. We love
much.
Him too.
From another planet.
He probably
honestly.
Is.
And that wife of his.
I know. They're stupid talented.
I know.
No, they're wonderful.
They really, I'm guessing that was him on the letter.
Yes.
That was a great solo.
Yes. He also, and Dad's all over this on guitar as well. It's hard to remember whose solos are whose. But yeah, it's just, man, I had to fight for the letter too. Dad didn't want
really?
To, yeah, I did. Dad didn't want to record it. And I was like, man, we gotta do it. He's like, I don't know about a cover on your first project. I was like, I don't care. There aren't any rules. We gotta do it.
Okay. Wait. I just want to tell you, your dad voice is
not,
exactly
is
like my
good.
Kid's dad
oh,
voice.
Oh, when they're doing when they're, you?
And Dad like, said, it's the same thing.
Dad. That's okay.
It's
wow.
a universal
it
thing.
It's a universal
like, oh,
thing.
My dad saying all this stuff that's stupid. Yeah. It's...
see, and that's producer Logan's one of mine.
Yeah.
So, see,
oh,
so he's
yeah.
agreeing
so you
right
know.
Now. Yeah.
The dad voice.
Intern Emmy is mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Grammy Schmammy Dad. We're putting it on the album.
He did admit that he might be a dinosaur sometimes. And so he said, all right, we'll do it. And it rocks.
It does.
So happy we put it on there. And maybe one day I'll learn how to write like a really cool rock song like that.
Right.
So, yeah, write as in.
Like old Wayne Carson, right? He wrote
like,
that.
Like, write it. Mm-hmm.
That, yeah, he's had a couple big hits.
In this version, the inspiration came from a version that Eva Cassidy did.
Ah.
Yeah, Eva Cassidy is one of my favorite voices, and it's such a shame that we lost her as early as we did, but she did a really cool version. It's probably a demo she did in her basement or something, and I kind of... was inspired by
bit.
Yeah a little bit, and it just kind of evolved on its own. I mean, I've been doing it since my rock band in college.
That
so,
that way
yeah.
in that style, awesome,
yeah.
perfect.
We need to take a break.
We should.
We're going to come back. I want to talk more about this rock band in college.
Okay.
Okay.
We can do that.
All right. Good. This segment was brought to you by our very good friends at Main Street Productions.
Main Street Productions. These are the guys you call if you guys need to do a video, especially because they see what I mean about people waving. That's what I was referring to earlier.
They're awesome.
Hello.
They're
wonderful. We love people. But Main Street Productions, we love them too because they do great videos and they don't charge an arm and a leg and they just really know what they're doing.
You just sounded very Trumpish. We love people. I love people.
All people
love me.
A million people.
Everybody. It's
Bigly.
Huge. Huge.
Huge.
You know what? And you know what else is huge?
What?
Main Street Productions.
Yes.
But it's not a huge price.
Where can you find them on the web?
MainStreetProductions.org.
Just call these people. We're going to be back just a few minutes with more of Jenny Gill here on the Music Row Show.
Like a shadow that wouldn't even leave in the shade. He's the uninvited guest who's the last one to stay. Somehow every time I tried to run and hide, it was no use. But lonely lost me, baby, when I found you. And every step I take.
Yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We are here with Jenny Gill. That is the first track of a brand new project, The House Sessions. That song is called Lonely Lost Me.
And we might actually hear the whole song.
We might.
Shortly.
Shortly.
Live.
Live. And in person.
It's very possible.
Very possible.
That could happen.
So
yes.
Before we start talking about the high school rock band.
College rock band. Yeah.
Sorry. Before we start talking about that. Would you introduce the gentleman with the guitar and maybe play a song for us?
Yes, this is my good friend Brennan.
Hi, Brennan.
Brennan!
Say hi to Brennan.
Hey, Brennan.
Brennan's a very talented artist here in Nashville. He actually just released a single this past Friday called Rip Off the Rear View. It's featuring, you guessed it, my dad.
What?
Yeah. Nice. It's a really cool song, and half the proceeds are actually going to benefit victims of domestic abuse. So, good song, good cause.
Nice.
Check out Brennan. Yeah.
All right. Brennan, what's your last name?
Hunt. I just go by Brennan, though.
Really?
Just go by Brennan?
Okay.
Yeah. Brennan. I just go
My
by Hina.
My name is actually Samuel, so I'm Sam Hunt.
That's been done.
I know. Really
that's been
yeah.
done.
I know.
See, I have the same problem. There's been a Hino already.
And everybody's so familiar with
that.
Yeah,
I'm glad you said your name again, because
oh
yeah.
thanks.
Yeah, because I was like,
wow,
I couldn't. I know, got it. I got it. I now I'm terrible with names.
Sing a song, will you?
Okay. That's how we do that. This is Lonely Lost Me.
Like a shadow that wouldn't even leave in the shade. He's the uninvited guest who's the last one to stay. And somehow every time I tried to run and hide, it was no use. But lonely lost me, baby, when I found you. Every step I take, he was tagging along. Hand in hand, we were humming the same sad song. Darling, till the day we met, all me and him were stuck like glue. Lonely lost me, baby, when I found you. I'd been begging, pleading, praying. Come and rescue me. And all it took was one look broken record. I was stuck in a groove, and skipping over the scratch instead of changing the tune. But that vinyl now is shining, boy, it's like I'm all brand new. And only lost me, baby, when I found you. Like a child who can't stop crying at the sky for his balloon. Lonely lost me, baby, when I found you. Lonely lost me, baby, when I found you. Oh, baby, when I found you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh, I can
make it awesome.
Wow. Hey, look.
Look at that.
Yeah.
The people
all right.
In the window. You're live. You're famous.
So
oh, that is awesome.
Not only was that beautiful, just great song, and you sang it beautifully, but Brennan, I didn't know a single chord you played, and I've been playing for 30 years. I didn't know any of those chords.
I don't know what they are either.
Wow, that's impressive. I mean, I know the three and the E minor. I know those, right. But that,
those are good ones.
But those
standbys,
yeah. Those were good ones too.
I wrote that with my friends Brianna Tyson and Jonathan Hamby, and Jonathan Hamby is responsible for all that fanciness.
He's musical.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So, and another fun thing about that track is the one and only Sheryl Crow is singing harmony with me on that on the record.
Who?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That one.
So how did that come
Cheryl.
About?
She just kind of showed up at the house one day because her and Amy are.
There's a lot of that going on. Yeah.
Her and Amy are good buddies, and she just kind of showed up. Hey, Amy, you want to hang out? And I just kind of, like got in front of Amy and was, hey, would you rather work than?
Yeah, you know what you should do. You should sing.
That'd be fun. That'd be fun.
Hey. To sing some more. No,
yeah.
She was so gracious and sweet. To,
oh, how cool
to,
is that?
To take out some of her hang time and
that is
sing
awesome.
On my record. I know. So
that
cool.
is awesome. People don't really realize that. You know, no other profession, you know, somebody who does, I don't know, repairs cars for a living, you know, it's like, hey, you know what would be fun right now? Let's go repair my car.
Exactly.
You know,
that's
it's like, really? Been doing that all week, you know?
But, you know.
But you do. If you're music,
yeah.
You like to play music.
Yeah.
You
true.
Love it. So, all right. What was the name of the college band?
Grand Review.
And
Grand Review.
Was it all covers? Was it
no, we
originals?
Wrote some originals. It was for eight of us. We were trying to be.
Eight?
Yeah. We were like all these white kids trying to be this funk band.
Nice.
And, yeah, we were okay. We were okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are there videos somewhere on YouTube of.
Oh, I don't know if there's any on YouTube. We made a little. We recorded a little project and it's not. It's okay.
Grand Review.
Yeah, Grand Review. We had so much fun. Oh my gosh, it was so much fun.
Where all were you guys playing at?
Well, we were all attending school out at MTSU.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so we just played the little clubs around there in Murfreesboro.
In Murfreesboro.
Yeah, and oh, it was so much fun. It's actually where my husband and I, we've known each other since grade school, but it was playing together in that band where we started to become sweet on each other.
Oh. You know what? I was going to ask you about that because you guys have a great story. You have known each other quite some time.
Yes.
Tell us about that. When did you meet?
Third grade.
Third grade.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And it was love at first sippy cup?
No,
or?
It was no? not. And I think third graders are grown out of sippy cups at that point.
Yeah, that's yeah. true.
Not his.
Sure.
Not his kids.
I will find out.
Sorry, Emmy.
Not his kids.
Yeah.
No, we actually lived about not even a mile away from each other, and we were in the same class.
Uh-huh.
And we kind of hung out here and there in middle school. We didn't have the same group of friends. Mm-hmm. But in high school, we acted opposite each other in our musicals. So senior year, Guys and Dolls.
On stage kiss?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
The whole thing. But
that
we
does
were,
it.
We were not into it.
No?
At all. No.
Cooties.
So it was not a... That was not a spark of a kiss there. That was...
No. There's actually... Okay. Dad, don't kill me. But there was actually one Spin the Bottle episode in my garage, and Josh was there. We were maybe sixth grade, and Josh was there, and we had to kiss each other.
Right.
And I wrote about it in my little journal.
Like,
oh, my God, I had to kiss Josh Van Valkenburg. It was so gross. And, I mean, I'm not making that up. And then here we are. Married.
Well, did you leave that out for other people to read? You say, I'm sorry, Dad, did he find out? Or?
Well, no.
Maybe Dad's just now finding
out. Dad's just now finding out.
Yeah, because he listens to the show.
Spin the Bottle.
All the time.
His daughter's on. He might be listening.
Oh, that's
one,
true.
It was once.
One time.
It was that one time I broke the rules.
One okay. time.
I never broke
You've
the
never
rules.
Broken them hmm. since.
No.
Should we back up? I mean, is lightning about to strike?
Probably.
Brennan,
should take cover.
Back up a bit.
Yeah, you don't want to be next to that.
Wow.
Well, she's got to set a good example for her son, right?
Yes.
Bottles are not meant to be spun, people.
Okay, you really? Know, now you're worried about the two-year-old listening?
No, I'm worried about
the intern. Oh, I wonder if he's listening. Well, I will say I'm glad that Josh and I...
you overcame that.
Yeah, we just did a little growing up before we decided to start dating.
Mm-hmm.
Because we probably would have
so
screwed
did,
it up.
So did his kissing get less gross? Did he get better at it?
His kissing got amazing.
Good for him.
Okay.
Way to go.
Yay.
Way to go.
Right. I know, right? I know.
Good for him.
So let's get back to music. Let's talk about backup singing, because you did that for several years with Amy.
I did.
And you did a lot of video recording on YouTube of life on the road.
Yes, I did that.
To outsiders... Touring just seems so glamorous. Seems like this really glamorous
it's not
thing.
At all.
What would surprise most people about road life? What was your favorite thing about it and your least favorite thing about it?
Oh my gosh. What was the first part of the question?
Okay.
Chapter one.
Look, this is a 7-part question.
I feel like I'm back in school.
What would surprise most people about road life?
Probably what you said about how unglamorous it is. I mean, I wasn't with Amy when she was doing all the arenas.
Right.
I mean, we're playing kind of smaller theaters, and it's a great show, but man, it's, how do I explain this? It's like you see the same thing every day because you just, it's the same hotel room, it's the same bus. The people are awesome to hang out with. That's what actually makes it worth it, is the hang.
Mm-hmm.
But I was lucky to be on a tour that wasn't gone for like 2 months at a time.
Right.
And then we'd do long weekends, come home, do another long weekend, come home.
So just enough to get your fill and then
exactly,
your own bed.
Felt like a kind of a little vacation and then, back to reality. Mm-hmm. So, and then what was the second part of
your favorite part and your least favorite part of being on the road?
Oh, man. My favorite part is the hang.
Now, the hang with
the band
and the crew and
it's such a great hang. It's like another family. It's my second family. They're my road family, and we have so much fun. There's no drama, you know. It's an easy hang. It's my favorite. And then what was the
least
part?
Favorite? That's the last part of the question.
Oh,
the least
gosh.
Favorite.
That wasn't as complicated as I made it out to be. My least favorite is I used to sleep great on the bus when I was a kid, but now I'm not sleeping so great on a bus anymore. I don't know why that is, but that's not my favorite part. My back kind of hurts after I've been sleeping on a bus for 5 days. I mean, you're like in a little coffin.
Right.
And
your little curtain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably my least favorite is sleeping on a bus when you have a a driver that takes his turns too quick.
Oh. And aims for every pothole he can find. Yeah.
Hey, you can't help the roads, but
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it's really just, it's a lot of sitting around. It's a lot of downtime, but the shows are a lot of fun. Amy is a great reminder that all you got to do is stand there and sing.
Mm-hmm.
She's a great storyteller. We don't have a bunch of fireworks and all this crazy production. I mean, we just stand there and sing songs.
16 male dancers writhing all around you.
That's a great idea.
Dump, 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 dump.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Baby for you there. You're welcome. Don't make a big thing of it.
My next question is only a 16-parter. So
oh, geez.
buckle up.
Okay.
No, not really. Do you remember the first time you heard your voice amplified?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
And I was on, I never remember the name. Oh, I was performing on Summer Lights with my dad, a Nashville show they put on.
Yeah.
And I got to sing, he wrote it about me, Jenny Dreamed of Trains.
Yeah.
It was the first time I heard my
voice.
It's
a great song. What were you rehearsing that and you're ready to go out and do it, or was it a surprise?
No, we practiced.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I don't like to wing it.
Okay.
I like to be rehearsed. Dad likes to wing it. He's just like, oh, you just show up and what are we doing? I can't do that.
What key are we in? Go.
Exactly. Yeah. I can't do that.
Interesting. Wow. So how did you feel when you heard it? Were you like, most people are horrified when they hear their own voice back for the first time?
No. Well, hearing your voice back
is a different
animal. Like if I listen to a recording of this on my phone, I hate my speaking voice.
Everybody does.
Yeah. But there's something different about in the moment amplified in a,
right.
in a theater.
That's just cool.
Outside. Yeah. And I was hooked. I was hooked. I've been singing ever since.
Sweet. So I'm curious. One of the first things you said here was you had felt pressure, you know, to do this because of the familial legacy that you have on all sides, right? But at 5 years old, you probably just loved being up on stage and singing. So at what age did you start to get self-conscious and start worrying about that pressure that you described early on?
High school, probably. I loved performing. I did musicals and choir and talent shows. I'd mm-hmm. listen back to a talent show and go, Oh no. You know, everybody's their own worst critic.
Worst.
But I can't stand it if I'm not pitch perfect. And it took a while to become a great singer. And I'm not saying that like patting myself on the back, but it takes repetition and night after night singing into a microphone, the practice, the hours under your belt. And so Amy and the work I did with her is a really big reason why I feel better about myself as a singer and my capabilities. But I don't know, the performing bug, I'd say, happened in high school. But everybody knew who I was in high school. So there was this thing I had. I was just afraid to just like let it out. But when I got to college, nobody knew who I was out there. And so
all the way out in Murfreesboro.
Well, but that college is a lot bigger than
that's
just
true.
The high school microcosm.
For those people, I
could fly under the radar. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I laugh only because Murfreesboro, for people who
it's
don't know,
like
is not that far
away.
Yeah.
I know, but college is just bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I started at Belmont. I did a semester at Belmont, and it did not feel like home. And so
let me
just get a little ways out of town. I can't be that far away from my family.
Well, there you go.
I'm too much of a wuss to just. And who wants to move away from Nashville? I mean, everyone's coming to Nashville. Everybody and their mom is moving here, so it didn't make sense to go far away.
Yeah,
they have
Logan,
great music
who
program.
Wants to move away from Nashville?
Yeah.
Are you moving away?
All right. Wow. Hey, we're going to take a break.
Can I come and visit?
Yeah, we know why he's moving there.
I'm going to dedicate a song to you later.
We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with more of Jenny Gill. You're listening to The Music Row Show. Stick around.
Just not my style, just a little more time, and I'll be fine. No, I don't need a drink. I'm just on my way home. It's best for me, I think. If you don't stand this close, 'cause I'd almost believe your whisper sounds so sweet. They're just whiskey words I've already heard. That's just whiskey talk.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's a great song called Whiskey Words. Jenny Gill off of her new The House Sessions
CD. Such a pretty song.
That's a great, great song. So
that's so cool to hear my music on the radio.
Yeah.
I have a songwriting question for you.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Because your dad is one of my all-time favorite writers, just because I don't feel like he wastes a single word in a song. And what have you taken creatively from just being around his process? Even by osmosis, you had to be listening to him woodshed and stuff.
Yes and no. Mm-hmm. I mean,
still dad, you know?
Still dad.
And all of his songs sound to you. With the dad voice.
Dad was gone a lot. Okay. When he was, I think, first grade is when I Call Your Name came out. Oh. And so,
to the races.
He was working really, really hard. And I remember hearing him play in the house, but I don't remember hearing him write. I was a very social kid. I wasn't up in my bedroom trying to write songs. I was trying to be popular.
Playing spin the bottle.
Exactly. Yeah. it's awful.
Sorry.
You know, I was like, I broke some rules, but not like the worst rules. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like,
yeah.
I never got arrested.
Hey, there you go.
Well, so you know what? There's still time.
There is.
You know, why rush it?
Well, no, now she has a kid. She's
that's
a mom.
True. But you didn't start writing until later in life. What held you back, and then what changed that you started putting stuff down on paper?
I don't know. I just I started in my quest to find something that I was really, really good at. I really fell in love with my music publishing class at MTSU. I was majoring in music business. So when I graduated, I got a job at a small independent publishing company. And I kind of really got to know how the industry worked, and made a lot of contacts and was working for songwriters. Mm-hmm. And I'd hear all these songs that they were writing and turning in every day. And then just kind of one day I thought, if I tried to do this, I know I could do this. I can write those songs. And there was a gal there who had just signed a publishing deal at this company. And I had decided to leave. I got offered to sing on a gig. And I was like, peace out. I'm gonna go sing. And when I got back, she called me up. She said, hey, you want to try to write? And I said, I have no idea what I'm doing. Yes, let's do it. And she came into the room that day with the title Whiskey Talk. And I said, what about Whiskey Words? And so Whiskey Words was one of the first songs I ever completed.
Are you kidding me? And it's love this song.
Not right.
And you know why? You know why it's great? Because I wasn't trying. I wasn't trying so hard. Yeah. We were just telling a story.
Right.
And I didn't know any. I didn't know any better. It just kind of flowed out, and that gave me the excitement to keep trying to write songs. It's so hard, by the way. Like, I get so frustrated now, just when I can't come up with. You get in a room and you try to write, and no magic happens. It's frustrating, but
wow,
well, it's like hitting the perfect. Like golf shot.
Golf swing.
So I've heard. I don't play golf, but that feeling you get where you just like hit it perfect.
You don't play golf?
I know.
All right.
My dad's very disappointed
in
me.
I can imagine.
Spin the bottle. I don't play golf. Like, it's just
dang,
the list goes on.
We better take
on.
A break before she gets herself into more trouble.
We should. This segment was brought to you by Tin Pan South, which is coming
yes.
up shortly in just a few weeks. And actually, the dates are...
It's March 28th through April 1st, April Fool's Day, which
thank
is
you very
really
much.
Cool. You can get your tickets at tinpansouth.com.
Hundreds of writers, venues, 300-plus songwriters, 90-plus shows, 5 nights, 10 different venues. It's happening in 22 days, 3 hours, 11 minutes, and 36 seconds.
Wow. Go
yeah.
check that out, tinpansouth.com. And we're going to be back with more of Jenny Gill here on the Music Row Show.
Send me a text. ticket for an airplane. I ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm coming home. My baby wrote me a letter. And I don't care how much I gotta spend.
The Music Row Show.
Yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That is my favorite version of the letter ever. Jenny Gill, off of her brand new project, The House Sessions. That's good stuff right there.
Oh, thanks.
That song, of course, written by Wayne Carson.
Yes.
The late, great Wayne Carson.
The late, great, who also wrote...
You Were Always On My Mind.
You Were Always On My Mind, yeah.
Yeah. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
So your next album, on the fillers, you need to do...
Put that one on there.
Put that one on.
Okay, on the fillers.
Yeah. On the on the fillers album. So how hard is it then, now that you have a full-on family, you got a little one and a husband,
yeah,
how hard is it to balance, you know, the recording artist life with family life?
Well, we're not the artist life isn't too wild and crazy yet. I mean, hopefully yeah, we'll get right now it's working great. Josh is really, really supportive. So he's at home with Wyatt right now.
Hey, Josh.
Hi, Josh. I don't know. I hope he's tuning in.
But, you know, you can go to Jenny Gill
Music.
Music.com, yes, and check out news. And she has a blog where she talks about being a road mama.
Road mama.
All the guilt.
Yeah.
All that guilt that comes along with leaving home.
That's an album or song title right there.
Oh, man. It's so hard. He boo-hooed a little bit when I was backing out of the driveway this evening to come over.
That hurts.
I know. It does. It does.
Well, we have all these interns that could just babysit next time.
Hired.
Okay.
Hired.
Sold.
Oh, my God.
Sold. So is there a kinship or secret support group with other next-gen artists like Alyssa Bonagura and Holly Williams? I mean, there's such a community here. Is there some shared experience from road life? Because you all were in the summers going and...
Oh, yeah. I probably am the closest with Alyssa. Our parents kind of played in the same circles.
Right.
So we spent some time together as kids and just watching her kick some serious butt.
She's doing great right now.
It's been so much fun. I think she is so talented, and I wish all the success in the world for her. She's got a great solo project out right now, and she's also got a killer rock duo with... Rod Stewart's daughter, Ruby Stewart. They're called The Sisterhood. And we're going to be playing a show together coming up on April 19th at 3rd and Lindsley.
Nice.
See how all of that just melded so beautifully?
That's a pro right there.
I tell you what.
It was just, it all was like happening in my brain. And wow, this is working
so
right
April
now.
So April 19th, 3rd and Lindsley.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
I did.
3rdandLindsley.com, the tickets. You can get some there.
JennyGillMusic.com.
There you go.
Yeah.
So before we run out of time, I got to know the story of the socks. And what the heck that was about.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, the socks picture on my Facebook page. Okay, I belong to this group of girls. We call ourselves the Wolf Pack. Okay, they're my best friends in the whole wide world. And you mess with one of us, and we're all coming after you, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we just went out to, I know, right?
Yeah, I'm a little nervous right now. Yeah.
We just took a little cabin trip a few weeks ago, and one of the girls made everybody a personalized pair of socks. They all say something different, and just kind of reflects our personalities.
Kind of like your wolf name, your wolf personality.
We do have shirts. We all have matching wolf pack shirts. Wow. We take this very seriously.
Apparently.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're my crew. I don't know what else to say.
Wait, I thought you said wolves.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's my crew of wolves.
Is that what the proper...
It's your squad of a crew of
a pack.
I thought it was pack of wolves. It's a crew of wolves.
Okay, sorry. Look, my pack.
He's doing Cub Scouts right now, so it's all about packs.
Personally, but my son.
Is it fun?
Yes.
Do you get patches?
I do.
On your vest?
Yes, I got a little. Actually, they made me wear a sash. I don't exactly know why.
That's even cooler.
Because it looks so much cooler on your shelfies. All right. This has been so cool. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you guys so much
you were wonderful.
For having me. This
you were a
fun.
Cool hang.
Go buy the CD. The House Sessions, where do we find it?
Man, you can find that on iTunes, everywhere online where music is sold. And if you want a hard copy, you can find that at JennyGillMusic.com, and I'll sign it for you.
There you go.
You have been amazing. Awesome. Well done tonight.
Hey, I'll come back if you want me to.
Come on.
Sweet. We might even kick these guys out. Actually, no, we're not. We got Matthew and Gunnar Nelson going to be joining us in the next hour. And we're really looking forward to
that. And Heino's going to talk about the fact he's about to read How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's going to be great.
Come on back to the Music Row Show in just a few minutes.